Actually, this morning I'm going to be sharing on the steps of a good man or a good woman. And I was thinking back to, you know, I got saved at the age of 15. I'm a little bit older than that now, as you can tell. I now have, Stephen and I have 9 grandchildren. Like, wow. What in the world? How'd that happen? Well, it happened. You know, just stay married, have children, and watch them populate the earth, and, you know, here you are. And so all these little people, you know, I had 3 kids that were very different. Now I have 9 grandchildren that are very different. It's just incredible. But I got saved at the age of 15, and listen to me. I never saw myself here. I never saw myself at 60 with raised kids that are married with grandchildren, right? It's not that I just never envisioned that. I want to tell you, and when you're young, you don't want to hear this because life just takes forever, but where I'm standing comes quicker than you realize. I remember getting saved at the age of 15. I fell madly, deeply in love with Jesus. Oh my gosh, I was just captivated. And I knew that I was going to follow him for all the days of my life. I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't think I'd be living in the United States talking to you all. That was not what I thought. Australia was a nice, great place. In fact, it's still a nice, great place. So how did I end up here? And I want to encourage you, because some of you are sitting there going, well, God, I've got all these plans and dreams and blah, blah. The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. What does that mean? Someone who is wholeheartedly following Christ. If you are not just a Christian by name only, but if you are in the Word going, Lord, I'm trusting you with my life and I'm following you, and I realize that every day I'm on the planet, I'm on mission. That's God's definition of a good man or a good woman. I don't want you to have a nervous breakdown. Oh my God, I'm trying to live for God. No. There's a rhythm to it. The Bible says, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. There's this rhythm of grace over each of your lives. But you're stressing out about, okay, when I graduate, or when this happens, what am I going to do? The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Years ago in the dark ages, we used to sing a song, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I want to encourage you in that. Wherever you find yourself, God's with you and he's for you. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. So you'll have started college, or you started your career, or you started a family, or you started dating, or you started married life, or you started wherever, and there's bumps in the road. And when it gets hard, we think, oh, it's bad. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I picked the wrong college. No, bad is actually part of the process. In it, God works for us. The hard isn't bad, is what I'm trying to say. The hard happens to us all. But don't think, oh, if it's hard, it's bad, it's wrong, I'm in the wrong place. Talk yourself out of it. I promise you, I moved here 25 years ago. First 3 years were hard. I knew God had called me here. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I felt the Holy Spirit whisper in my heart, there's a door coming, will you go? And I went, you know, now prior to that, I was like, I am never moving to the United States. And I told my husband that. He was born here. He was born in Queens, New York. The age of 8, his family moved to Australia. And he would say to me, you know what, I think we're supposed to go and live in America and pastor a church. So I'm like, I think we're not. Nope. And in fact, I would go so far as to say I would roll my eyes. Oh, yeah, whatever. Here we go again. Ta-da, 25 years later, here I am. All that to say, I felt the Holy Spirit one day as I was with a girlfriend speak to my heart. And I was just, my life got interrupted by the word of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to interrupt your world. Not all the time. You know, people that say, oh, God spoke to me today and yesterday and the day before. No. But every now and again, you'll hear the voice from heaven directly to you. And when you do, you act on it. And so when I heard that still small voice that I can't even explain to you, Steve called, he was over here, he goes, I've been offered this church in Virginia Beach, what do you think? I went, let's do it. I think someone had to pick him up off the floor on the other side of the other phone. But I want to encourage you in that. Don't stress about your future. God has you. God's got you. He's going to lead you and he's going to guide you exactly where you're meant to be. Because I can look back 25 years now and say, Lord, it wasn't just for me and it wasn't just for Steve. For each of our children, this is the lane that we are called to live in. Amen? So let me encourage you in that. So, first scripture I've got, Matthew 16, 24 to 26. This is Jesus talking. And I know it's Jesus talking because it's in red. I don't know if it's in red in your Bible or in your... I don't think they put it in red on iPhones or iPads, do they? It's all black. I don't know. So they used to help us out back in the day when you used to have a paper Bible. Bible says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And then Romans 14 says this, for none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us die for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. So how are the steps of a God-fearing, God-honoring, Christ-following person ordered? First thing I believe is we understand our life is not our own. Our life is not our own, guys. Can I just remind us? Our life is not our own. Now listen, we live in a culture where everybody is pushing on you. You need your platform. It's all about you. And whatever makes you feel good, good, do it, whatever. And Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. So what does that mean? That means we're following Christ and the principles of the Word of God every day of our life. But what about my platform? Well, you might get a platform. I promise you, the platform is overrated, guys, okay? I mean, I'm standing on a platform now. Don't crave it. Don't go after it. Let God order your steps and watch Him put yourself in places. I'm not bagging Instagram and all that. I'm not. I'm not having a shot at you. I'm saying to you guys, lean in and trust Jesus with every part of your life. Every part of it. Every single area. I'm a little bit older now, but when I first started following Christ and I was young and I didn't have a lot of money and I was at school, God showed up to me in miraculous ways. I'm telling you, it became the foundation of my life as I learned to trust and follow Him. Do that. Whatever area of life you find yourself in, whether you're at college, whether you're career, whether you're raising a family, every moment, every day, Lord, I'm trusting you. And Lord, I realize I'm on mission. What do you want me to do today? What if we changed our prayers from, God, could you do this for me? You know, remember, there's a few billion people. Imagine if they all start going, gang, gang, you know. For those of you who have children, when you might have two or three, when they start whining, you're ready to, you know. Can you imagine 6 billion? 6 billion kids going, I want this and I want that. It's not fair. Why don't we help God out a little bit and say, hey, God, I'm living for you. I'm on mission today. What can I do for you? That'd be kind of refreshing, don't you think, for a God in heaven who, what, you know. Anyway, just saying. 1 Corinthians 6 says, for God bought you with a price. So you must honor God with your body. And obviously that's talking about sex. But even the bigger picture of this is to understand that God paid a high price for you. He sent his son Jesus. He sent everything, his most precious possession for you. He looked down on earth and went, you know what? They're not going to make it. I'm going to send my son to build a bridge to help them get through this life. We cannot do this life without accepting Christ as our Savior. Oh, we can pretend we can and we can think we can. And there's a lot of people in our culture that want to tell you you can. But I'm here to tell you, you were born with a spirit. That spirit craves the God of heaven. Amen? Amen? Yeah. One little example. Let me tell you that, you know, our life is not our own. I have three children. My youngest son and his wife, about just a little over 2 years ago, her older sister tragically passed away, 34 years old, and just a real tragedy. Then fast forward a year, Sam and Laurie are pregnant with their third baby. They had two little boys. And unexpectedly, at 14 weeks, she goes to the doctor, and there's no heartbeat. I remember him calling me, saying, "Mom, we lost the baby." It was just an awful, awful phone call. Maybe you have friends, maybe you've experienced something like that, to lose a baby. And, you know, the doctor said, "Okay, you need to go into labor and delivery and deliver the baby." And they found out it was a little girl. And I just remember Laurie sent a picture of Sam, you know, because, you know, they put this little life that its heart had stopped beating in this little crib that you would normally put a newborn baby in. And there's a photo of Sam just standing over the crib. As a mom, I just was sobbing, like, oh, this is gut-wrenchingly hard. And you've had a year before grief of the loss of a sister. So it just feels like a double whammy. Sometimes life hits like that. It makes no sense, and there's no answers, right? And so, but I remember as I started to pray with them, I could visibly see the Lord Jesus in the room with them. And not only was he in the room, but he was weeping with them. And, you know, we want to go, "Well, God, why? And you caused..." No, he didn't. He understands that life happens. Humans in our frailty, stuff happens. And I remember, you know, Sam would begin walking every day as he just brokenheartedly just was worshiping God and spending time with God. And I remember a couple months later, he said, "Mom, I've never felt closer to God." Again, he was on this journey of understanding and knowing, "Lord, my life is not my own. And right now we've walked through some stuff that's really hard. And I just trust you." So fast forward on the due date of that baby girl, Laurie's driving and sees a rainbow in the sky. Remember, the rainbow, God's promise. "I'm never going to flood the whole earth." You know, the whole Noah's Ark deal, okay? Never going to flood. And goes to the doctor and finds out she's pregnant again. Then fast forward a couple months, they find out a baby girl. And so in April, they had their third baby, a little baby girl. Trusting God in the good, the tough, the in-between, understanding, "Lord, my life is not my own, and because it's not my own, and I know you're a good, good father, then I just know you work good in the really, really hard." Second thing is, are we willing to let God direct our paths? Are you willing, really? I have to ask myself, am I really willing every day of my life? Because guess what? I want what I want. Anyone else feel like that? Just me. We have a will that goes, "Well, I actually want to do this." But part of following Christ means we yield our will. Yeah. See, this, I really want to do this because that would make me feel amazing, but I know I'm not supposed to do it. Because of that, Lord, I choose to follow you and your word and your principles. And that's a daily thing. Psalm 37 says this: "The steps of a good and righteous man, woman, are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path." A number of years ago, we were in Hawaii, which is always the will of the Lord, right? Sandy beaches, palm trees. In fact, it sounds good right now, doesn't it? Hawaii. But we're actually there because we have some friends who pastor a church there. Imagine being called to pastor in Hawaii. Like, that just doesn't seem right, does it? Anyway, we had the opportunity to go, and so Steve was going to be speaking there, and we were in downtown Honolulu at the Apple store, because Apple is everywhere, even in Honolulu. And he went in, because his iPad wasn't working, and he preaches from his iPad. I'm old school. I don't trust digital. I know all you guys trust your digital stuff. I do not. I'm really old school. Paper only, all the way. Anyway, so he was getting it. He went to the Genius Bar, and I'm like, "I'll just wait outside. It's sunny. I'll just sit out the front." He's taken a while. So eventually, I'm like, "You know what? I'm going to go in and find out what's going on. What the heck is taking so long? These geniuses need to get their genius act together or whatever." Anyway, you know, we're always in a hurry, right? So I go in, and I'm met by this beautiful girl who meets me and says, "Oh, hi, can I help you? What are you here for today?" I said, "Oh, actually, my husband's at the Genius Bar. I was just coming to, you know, find out what was going on." Oh, are you here on vacation? No, actually, we're here for work. What kind of work? Actually, we're pastors, and he's going to speak at a church. And then she says to me, I used to go to church. She was probably 19 or 20 years old. I used to go to church. I went, really? So what happened? And so we're having this conversation. And basically, I come to find out that she was really part of a cult that was like a church. Awful. She's telling me this story. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awful. And I just knew in that moment, wow, our worlds collided. I realized that the Holy Spirit is working overtime in each of our lives, bringing people across our path. And how many times we're in a hurry and we don't stop and we don't. And really, there's a hurting, broken world. Maybe even church people that have been hurt and broken for whatever reason, I don't know, that you could really help. And so she started talking to me. And I said, okay, I've got some friends here. They pastor. They're good people. Would it be okay if I connected you with them? Then her manager comes over. She's like, okay, can you pretend to buy something? Because my manager's watching. I'm like, sure, I'll pretend to buy anything right now. So I'm just over by the iPad. Yeah, tell me about the iPad, you know. So I connected her with my friend who took her out for a meal and just apologized to her and said, that should never have happened to you in church. It's just a horrifying story. It wasn't church at all. And connected her with them. She ended up attending church, had a beautiful voice, ended up on the Create team, ended up leading worship, got married to a beautiful guy in church, and just had their first baby. I tell you that, not about me. I realized how often the Holy Spirit's drawing people. Like, what are the chances that I would walk in? We thought the Apple Store appointment was about the iPad, and the Holy Spirit's going, go in there. You know what I mean? I'm not even realizing it. Guys, let's live life with our eyes opened. Are we prepared to surrender and go, Lord, I'm on your mission. I realize I'm on a mission every day. People, lives. All right. We've got to keep this moving. Romans 12 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what does that even mean? Okay, does my thinking line up with what God's word says? Or is my thinking line up with what I want it to say? That's another big thing too, guys, right? How are we interpreting scripture? And are we allowing the world, are we allowing ourselves to conform to the world? When I was just early 20s, I worked in the courthouse system in Sydney. And, it was a good job. It was a government job, pay, flex time was great. But there was an attorney's office that wanted a legal secretary just down the road and more money, which... hello, that's the will of God, right? More money, whatever. So I applied for the job, went for the interview, got the job. So I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you. We're saving for a house. This is amazing. Except that night, I couldn't sleep. The next night, I couldn't sleep. Third night, I'm saying to Steve, what is going on? I can't sleep. I'm wrestling with this job. It's everything. It ticks all the boxes and more money. So that's like the big thing, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I'm like, Steve, can you drive me down past my new employment, the attorney's office? Can you drive me past so I can see, let's just figure it out and pray and all that stuff. 5 days later, by the end of the week, I'm like, you know what? I have no peace. I can't take the job. I just can't take the job. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to walk back into my boss and see if I can have my old job back. And so I did. I walked back in, and I just sat in his office, and I said, look, I don't understand this. I don't expect you to understand this. I just know I'm not supposed to take this job at the attorney's office. And I said, could I have my old job back? I don't know if any of you guys have done this, but it's like, and you know what? I had a phenomenal boss. He literally opened the drawer. Again, this is going to show my age because now you email everything. Back in the day, you typed up your resignation and handed it in. He took it out of the drawer and tore it up and said, I was hoping you wouldn't go. Do you know, instantly, peace. Peace. Listen, it's not worth living without peace. When God is doing something in your life and he's unsettling you, get wisdom, get understanding, and then finally say, God, I'm doing it your way. Yeah. I still to this day don't know why I couldn't take the job. I mean, in my role in the courthouse, I did get a promotion. I don't know that it was about that, but maybe he was just testing my heart. Do you trust me? Are you really going to follow me wholeheartedly? Because that means when I blow the whistle and say, nope, can't do that. Well, but this makes perfect sense to go do this. It's got more money than this. Nope, can't do it. I just said no. All right. You said no. Peace. There is nothing like the peace of God, guys. Nothing like the peace of God. All right, number three. Remember, we got here because others allowed God to order their steps. You're sitting right here. You're sitting here right now because people built a church building. Might not be your church building, but someone did. Someone saw the beauty of the church and built this building, and we get to have our services here. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews says this, Hebrews 11, all these people died, it's talking about Jewish people, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They believed that Jesus was coming. They didn't live to see it, but they died believing. And then he came. And then Hebrews 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so guess what? Heaven is cheering us on. Oh, my gosh. You know how you feel like you do life alone? I want to remind you, there's a whole host of heaven up there going, you got this. Oh, my gosh, how am I going to survive this? You got it, girl. The Holy Spirit is with you every day. Every day. Every day. Reminding you of that. Do you know, I was telling you that Steve's mom and dad, Irish Catholics, had a real sense of God. Really, they did. But they didn't know what it truly meant to be followers of Christ, so they were just living it out the way they thought. But as a 27-year-old young woman, Steve's mom, we just went to Ellis Island in New York. Ellis Island is where all the immigrants would come in by boat, giving you a little bit of history. And so we got to visit and go into, because basically the whatever you call it, the whole thing, immigration center area, is the same as it was in the 50s. And so we looked up Steve's mum's arrival, 1956. Boat was the Queen Mary. They talked about the conditions of the boat, that if you didn't have a lot of money, which she didn't, you would be on this boat. It took about 2 weeks to get from London to the United States. On this boat, you were crammed, sleeping wherever. People, I'm just trying to get my mind around this. People often didn't know where the bathrooms were, so you can imagine what it was like. And here she was, a 27-year-old young woman. It said that she arrived with $70, which would have been a lot of money in 1956, and one suitcase, and began her life. Do you know, for us, that's when it began. That's when the story of the Kellys living in Virginia Beach began. In 1956, a 27-year-old who knew of God but didn't know him, and yet God was at work in her life. I promise you, you're sitting here because grandmas prayed, parents prayed, friends prayed. They paved a way for you to be sitting right there. Don't ever forget it, and remember to say thank you to them. And then lastly, point number four, live fully devoted. Live fully devoted. Be all in. Be all in what can feel like your ordinary, everyday life. Ordinary, everyday life. You know, I remember moving here 25 years ago, and I'm very grateful to God. Because I realized something. It wasn't just about me, and it wasn't just about Steve and I. It was about our whole family. Our kids have all married here. We have grandchildren here. Our legacy now will continue in the United States. When God leads, I want you to remember that it's never just about you. It never is. Our life is not just for ourselves. It's for those who come after us, for those who are around us, those that we can cheer on. James talks about if you turn someone who is a believer, who's walking off a, going down a rabbit trail, if you turn them around, you will have changed a legacy of generations. I want to encourage you in that. People that you meet that used to go to church, get them back, invite them, bring them. In community groups, that what is so vital. I'm standing here, and Steve and I are standing here as a testament to the local church. As teenagers, we got saved. We knew nothing about, we became Christ followers. We knew nothing about Christianity, nothing. But we became part of a church. I promise you guys, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in church life, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves her. He died for the church. He's coming back for the church. And can I tell you that the foundation of my life was built by being planted in a local church? How do you have a good marriage? Well, when Steve and I were dating, we got around families and went, we want a marriage like that. When we watched them raise their little kids before we were even thinking about kids, we want a family just like that. When we watched parents of teenagers and the way they interacted and how close they were, when everybody says teenagers go off the rails, we went, we're choosing that. How did we learn all that? How did we learn any business principles? Steve, overseeing the church, business principles. He got around business people in the church. What's the dream in your heart? What's the desire? What's God put in it? I promise you, there are pillars in our church that you can get yourselves around. Some of you are sitting right here. I can see you. Have people, have mentors, and ask them questions. Be the best question asker you can be. So how do I get there? And how can we do this? And you walk through something as a single mom, how did you do it? You walk through a divorce, wow, how come you're so happy? What is it? And you'll share, oh, I thought my life was over. But for Jesus, He led me. He restored me. His Holy Spirit empowered me. Didn't think I would have a smile on my face, but I do have. My message to you today is, listen, life is not a piece of cake at times. We're all going to face hard stuff. But the steps of a good man, godly, righteous, God-fearing, Christ-following, are ordered by the Lord. And He delights in His way. Though he fall, He will not be cast down. Because the Lord upholds you with His hand. In Jesus' name.